Hey, Geek History Lesson fans, we just want to tell you real quick about a place that you will be able to meet us in person March 16th and 17th, Saturday and Sunday. Ashley and I are going to be at Emerald City Comic Con.
Woo!
That is in Seattle, Washington, in the United States, of course, at the Washington State Convention Center. We're going to be there Saturday and Sunday, and we will be set up at Artist Alley, table HH3. We are teaming up with a dear friend of ours.
Sherrard Jackson.
Sherrard Jackson's letting us have a corner of his table, and we will be there with Geek History Lesson pins. We'll be there with copies of Jupiter Jet. You can get your copies of Jupiter Jet signed. And also, we'll be there just with our faces. So if you are listening to this podcast right now, and you are going to Emerald City Comic Con, please stop by Artist Alley Table HH3. Say hi to us on March 16th and 17th. We're not going to be there the Thursday and Friday, guys. Sorry, we're only going to be there Saturday and Sunday. But come by Artist Alley Table HH3 at Emerald City Comic Con. Come say hi. Tell us you're a member of the Mind University. We want to hear from you. We want to say hi from you. And also pick up some signed copies of Jupiter Jet, or bring your copies of Jupiter Jet to be signed.
Heck yeah.
We're very excited to be there. It's our first year at Emerald City Comic Con. And we're actually very excited just to meet you. Hope to see you soon at an Emerald City. He's the man that can out-vibe the Flash. Yes, we are talking about vibe, because your Geek History Lesson on Cisco Ramon is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Good Vibrations Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to the Mind University, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or teleporting guy from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. And this week, we're finally, after 5 years, talking about Vibe.
Yes, because he's on a show called Justice League Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on a little tiny show that nobody watches called The Flash on CW.
Yeah.
It's nobody knows about that show.
No, it's really indie.
But Vibe has been requested by two amazing technical assistants, and they are Lee Chavous, C-H-A-V-O-U-S, I'm sorry if I butchered your name, and David May. They requested the Vibe episode.
Thank you for requesting.
So yes, thank you for requesting an episode about Vibe. So let's get into it. Let's go to the 10-cent origin. What is that, Ashley?
10-cent origin. I'm so glad you asked, Jason.
I'm just going
to
walk all over you. What is it?
It is. The 10-cent origin is the first part of the podcast where Professor Jason is going to lay out all the basics, who's its and what's its and fun facts, in case you ever go to a Flash-themed cocktail party and someone's like, who's that Vibe guy?
Yes. Vibe, of course, is a DC Comics character. His first appearance was in Justice League of America Annual Number 2 of October 1984. He was created by Jerry Conway and Chuck Patton. Now, his alter ego is, of course, Paco Ramon.
What? Jason.
Then later renamed to Francisco Cisco Ramon.
Mm.
Of course, he's from the planet Earth, and his team affiliations have been Justice League Detroit, Los Lobos, Justice League, and the Justice League of America. His abilities are, he is a skilled hand-to-hand combatant, he has sonic vibration manipulation, he has seismic powers, molecular vibration, induced image distortion, and too many other powers that are just up to the whim of writers that I can repeat.
Okay.
Let's move into the meet cute, Ashley.
The meet cute is the part of the podcast that we stole from romantic comedy writing, where we are going to tell you where we first meted this character and how cute it was.
Ashley.
Yep.
Where'd you first feel those good vibrations?
Were they good? I don't remember ever hearing about Vibe until the New 52 series.
Okay.
Which is not to say that he wasn't in some minor capacity a part of a storyline that I read or anything like that. I was working at Blast Off Comics in North Hollywood, and I remember a couple customers had pulled Vibe and they really liked it, and I had no idea who Vibe was. So I Googled him and I learned a little bit about him. But really, and I think it's going to be the same for a lot of people, I wasn't on the up and up with Vibe until Flash.
The TV show.
Yeah. And I think you were the person who told me a lot about him. So it's fitting that now we find you teaching me the lesson on him. So how about you? Where did you first meet Vibe, Mr. Ramon?
I first met Vibe as a joke.
What?
Yes. The old Wizard magazine, a great comics publication, probably comic book industry's Bible, I would say. The old Wizard magazine was published throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, had a sister magazine called Toy Fair that was singularly about action figures. Also a great, great magazine. And these two magazines had a joking nature, and they would a lot of times joke about the old Justice League Detroit and how silly a league it is. And let me tell you, they were right. But one of the characters that they would constantly make fun of was Vibe. And that is how I was first ever introduced to Vibe, because eventually I was like, who the hell is this guy that keeps beatboxing and doing street dancing and running around with a boombox? Mm-hmm. Because that's how this magazine would portray him. And let me tell you, they nailed it. There's no exaggeration. But until the Flash TV show, that's the only Vibe I knew.
Wow.
Or actually the New 52 comic book series, which we will talk about a little bit.
Cool.
But before we get into the main meat of the lesson, we got to thank our first sponsor, Wix. Now, if you're out there, Ashley.
Yep.
You're out there. You're like, I want to make a website.
I want to
make a website for a superhero team in Detroit.
I do.
Do you know where you go?
I don't know. Tell me.
You go to Wix.com.
Oh, of course.
Because 140 million different people. 140 million different people.
That's a huge super team.
It's a lot of different people. They use Wix for their website. And you can start and publish your website, this is very important, for free.
What?
Yes, and you can choose from over 500 stunning templates from start to scratch. And you can change, you can customize, you can add anything you want. You want to put a beatboxer on your website? They can do that because they allow you to add text, images, videos, and more with over 100 different design features and apps to grow your brand online. I use Wix for Jawin.com. I use Wix for my comic soldiers, my comic drive every single year. It is one of the easiest website builders, so customizable, I have ever used. And to be honest with you, part of the reason I use it is because I'm a dummy when it comes to website building, and Wix makes it really, really easy. And I'm such a dummy when it comes to website building. I know nothing about SEO. Ashley, what's SEO? No, it's not a funky band. What is it?
Search engine optimization.
That is right. Well, Wix gives you built-in SEO tools.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, and you can actually use Wix's personal SEO whiz for a personalized plan. They can help you out. They can jazz that up a little bit.
Nice.
So get started now by going to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast, just the word podcast, to get 10% off. Wix.com/podcast. And thanks to Wix for making this podcast free to you.
Yay.
All right, now let's move into the history 101.
Which is the main meat of the lesson, where Professor Jawin is going to dive deep on the teleporting hero Vibe.
Ashley, I have a fun fact for you right up top.
Oh boy, let's do it.
The original Vibe, Paco Ramon.
Yes.
Might hold the record for a certain, I don't know how to describe this, a certain accomplishment.
Okay.
He might hold the record for a certain accomplishment of all, of every character ever in the Justice League.
Okay.
What do you think his record is? Just random guess.
Most beatboxing?
No, no, no. It's actually, it's not an ability or like a Guinness thing. It's more of publication history-wise. Like
least amount of appearances.
You're close. You're very close. He might actually hold, in that fictional character world, the shortest time being a Justice Leaguer.
Oh, interesting.
Now, there's no way to really confirm this. There's no really way.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you
yeah.
could do it issue by issue. I didn't. But he's really in the Justice League not that long.
Okay.
Very quickly, I want to talk about some publication history before we go into the fictional history.
Love
here.
It.
At the time that Vibe was created, which, as if you remember, was 1984, the comics industry was kind of dominated by teenage superheroes.
Yeah, man. The two best-selling books were the New Teen Titans and Uncanny X-Men.
You are correct.
They were so good.
So it was thusly decided to redesign the Justice League of America and to give them a similar younger roster. Vibe was one of three brand new teenage characters introduced to the team in the same single issue, which also has served as the origin for all three. The other two characters were Gypsy, which is a brand new original character, and then Steel, which is sort of an update of an old JSA character.
I didn't know if you were going to ask me to try and guess them. And
No, I have no idea. And also, he was given a breakdancing motif because at the time, it was a big fad. The kids were into breakdancing, Ashley.
I'm sure the executives thought that.
Yes. Now, on to the fictional history. When we first meet Paco in Justice League of America, Annual Number 2, he's spray painting the word vibe on a wall in an alleyway in Detroit.
Oh, my God. That's really funny because when we first meet Black Wally West I don't remember what issue he said, annual something or other, he is spray painting the Flash and then he gets arrested.
Yes. But see, unlike the Wallace West that was introduced in that, Paco is interrupted by an elderly fellow. And Paco's response to this elderly fellow is thus: "Can't you see I'm working, old man? What you think? Fresh, huh? Vibe. That's chill."
Oh, boy.
And it, literally in the word balloon, it is spelled out.
True.
C-H-U.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's how the urban street kids talk.
Now, Ashley, I have introduced this in several podcasts before, that when I write, and I think it's something that a character's first scene tells you something about that character. What do you think this scene says about Vibe?
He's dumb. He doesn't respect elders. He's like a lot of 15-year-olds I knew once upon a time. I don't know. I think it is supposed to evoke that he's like a hip rebel who don't take nothing from the man. But the older you get, the more that you realize that that's what fuddy daddies think.
So, oh yeah.
Did I nail it?
I don't know. You're probably right. All right. So Paco Ramon began his career as Vibe shortly after Aquaman disbanded the original Justice League.
Because no one was reading it.
Yes. When young Cisco heard that a new Justice League was forming in his hometown of Detroit, he decided to give up his position as the leader of a local street game called the Los Lobos to join. Now, he joins this new Justice League by simply waltzing into the secret new headquarters compound of the Justice League, carrying his boombox. Now, the new compound of this Justice League, the Justice League Detroit, was a hidden compound. It was set up by Steel, but it was literally on a street in Detroit.
Not that hidden.
In a bunch of sort of shops and apartment buildings. It was literally in the neighborhood. Yes. Now, several times during the issue, the annual, they call it hidden. They call it secret. Vibe is not the only character to just walk right in this place.
So it's not. See, this is interesting to me because I think the idea of Justice League Detroit is not bad. I think the idea of like a grounded street level and poor Detroit. Detroit needs some help. But man, I see why it wasn't popular.
Yeah. Now, when Vibe walks into this secret headquarters, he goes, "We should be on the same crew." It's also mentioned during...
Are they rowing? Like
no, he walks in. It's also mentioned that he's 19 years old.
Oh, he's older than I thought he was. That's troubling.
Well, he's got pretty young. Now, team leader Aquaman let him in. He was like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And Vibe, you know, blasts him with some vibrational powers. And then Aquaman's like, "Oh, you should join the team." if this was in the DCEU...
Aquaman would have killed him.
And this is Jason Momoa. I literally think Jason Momoa would eat him.
Yeah.
For dinner.
Or if he walks in and he's like, "We should be on the same crew." He's like, "My man, I knew I liked you."
All right. Yeah. You bring some chips?
Yeah.
Now, also during this, as I said, many other team members just show up in Detroit, including Gypsy, who makes her way into the headquarters.
Couldn't call a character that name now.
Yep. And soon their headquarters are actually welcomed by the community with a little help by Vibe. And the community sort of has a block party for them because it's on a city block.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
cute.
And they're like, "Welcome to the Justice League," or "Welcome to Detroit."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a nice little moment. So the end of the issue is actually very nice and very sweet. Now, Ashley, I want to ask you, I don't want to know, we might have talked this on a past Geek History Lesson. Do you have a favorite Justice League HQ?
Ooh, I have a soft spot for Happy Harbor, but that's probably just because of Young Justice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Justice League should operate out of the Watchtower.
Okay, now I have to ask you, which version of the Watchtower? Because There's the original Watchtower, which was Grant Morrison. It was mm-hmm. on the moon. Mm-hmm. There's the Watchtower satellite that was sort of a combination of the Watchtower and the old satellite era.
Yes.
Which, by the way, the satellite era takes place right before this.
Yes, it is.
Or is it the sort of weird, just monitoring post that's tied to the Hall of Justice?
No, I like the Watchtower satellite because okay. I like the idea that the Justice League is a global organization. And I like the idea that it's not just tied to America. So if they were orbiting the Earth in a way that allowed them to sort of link up with the daytime cycle, they could always be monitoring the countries that were awake. And I think that's really cool.
I want them on the moon.
Why?
I just like it. I like the idea
okay,
that the gods are watching us.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that the moon's a little bit far away, but look.
A little bit?
If we have instant look, we're in a superhero universe.
They got boom tubes.
You can get the moon 5 minutes. It's, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it ain't yeah, that yeah. far away.
Do you think they're up there with the Watchers?
Different universe. So, yeah.
So, no.
Okay. So, the main thing that Vibe did, basically, was to create a presence on the team that kind of caused Aquaman and the Martian Manhunter to basically have doubts about their new team and doubts about whether the Justice League should even exist.
Uh-huh.
Particularly when Vibe got the League involved in a rumble with a rival gang to the Los Lobos.
I haven't heard a fight referred to as a rumble since I think I read The Outsiders in seventh grade. So that is very funny.
But eventually Vibe sort of proved his worth on the team because the League faced off against Cadre, Anton Allegro, and Amazo, and Vibe was able to actually participate in all of those.
God, I love Amazo. He's so stupid.
But eventually, Vibe and his team gets kicked out of their Detroit headquarters, and in fact, soon, this Justice League is involved with a crisis that leads to a hilarious scene in Justice League of America 244, where Ralph Dibny explains the multiverse to Paco.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a two-page thing. It's very similar to the way Martin Stein explains it in The Flash. And Paco at the end of it says, "You think just because I'm a kid from El Barrio that I don't know spit? Parallel worlds, man. You're talking Star Trek, Ralphie." Which I kind of thought was funny.
Points for the Star Trek reference, Paco.
Which I actually think is an exchange that I hope we see in maybe an upcoming DC TV crossover when they finally do Crisis on Infinite
Earths. Yeah, but Ralph was not that far on DC TV.
But then Crisis on Infinite Earths happens. Mm-hmm. And actually, give us a very brief description of that.
Well, there were too many universes, and DC was like, there's too many universes. So the Anti-Monitor ate all the universe and pooped out one. If you want a more in-depth version of Crisis on Infinite Earths, you can head on over to patreon.com/Jawin. You should know how to spell that, but just in case, J-A-W-I-I-N. Jason and I are doing a mini documentary on each issue called Crisis Club, and you can sign up. We're sending out cool swag. You can participate, and you can learn truly all of the secrets and Easter eggs about Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, it's a 12-part video docu-series about every single issue of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yep.
And you can get it all, and you'll learn all the details. And if you sign up, you get a cool bookmark,
yep,
which is really cool. And we do quarterly live streams where we take your questions directly. So patreon.com/Jawin helps keep the podcast free, but you can only get Crisis Club over there.
Heck yeah.
Okay, so after Crisis happened, there was one universe because it was pooped out by the Anti-Monitor.
Yep.
And even though, you know, a lot of the characters and a lot of the titles were reset, this team kind of proceeded like nothing happened.
I'm sure they did.
But eventually we got to a new crossover called Legends, which is basically about Darkseid's assault on Earth. Now, during this miniseries, the Justice League of America was disbanded, and Paco left his JLA comrades to seek the familiar solace of the streets. Vibe was attacked by one of Professor Ivo's androids and became the first Justice League member to be killed in the line of duty.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, the Martian Manhunter brought Vibe's body back to the League's mountain sanctuary where Vibe was laid to rest in a cryogenic chamber. Now, two quick things here. Paco left behind many extended family members, along with a little brother named Armando with similar powers to him that would later be called Reverb. And he also, Hardline was another one, who even eventually worked for Booster Gold's one-time super team, the Conglomerate.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this version of Vibe would later make an appearance during Blackest Night.
As a zombie?
As a zombie. But that is the last appearance of Vibe, and that's the end of our lesson. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for hanging out, guys. Yeah,
all right, everybody. This is a great lesson of Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Good Vibrations Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And thanks for listening. You think they're gone yet? Did they tune out?
I think some people did.
I mean, if you're looking at the timestamp, you can realize that this episode is going to go on for another half hour.
Also, we didn't plug anything.
Yep. actually, that's not the end of Vibe.
No, of course it's
not. Thankfully, DC Comics loves reboots, and they rebooted their universe in the New 52 and rebooted Vibe with that. Actually, real quick, let's talk about the New 52. What the hell is it?
So, during Flashpoint, Barry Allen missed his mom. He ran back in time. He reset the universe. Everyone got more lines on their costumes, and most people, except the ones that Geoff Johns was writing, had only been superheroes for 5 years, and their continuity was reset.
That's right. Ashley, I want to talk about this, because I don't know if we've ever had this conversation in any Geek History Lesson.
Okay.
DC's reboots.
Yes.
We talk about them every time we talk about a DC character.
Yes.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, Zero Hours.
Infinite Crisis.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, Zero Hours, kind of a mini reboot. Mm-hmm. Crisis on Infinite Earths is a soft reboot. Mm-hmm. Flashpoint is a full-on reboot. DC Rebirth, a
soft,
slight reboot.
Yeah. A sequel boot.
Do you like DC's reboots? Do they work? Let's talk about this here.
I don't like any reboots.
You don't like any of them?
No,
even
I have,
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Look, Crisis on Infinite Earths is a great story.
Yes.
It's a landmark. It's so important. I enjoy reading it. I'm enjoying going through it for Crisis Club. When I look at what comic books are, I don't need a reboot anywhere.
Why?
I don't need a big line-wide reboot. I understand soft reboots for characters. I understand returning to form. Because for me, comics is all about sliding continuity and, like our awesome new t-shirt, making your own continuity. I think it should just, you read the stories, you slot it in where you want, you keep what you like, you throw out what you don't. And every time there's a hard reboot, everything has to sort of reset. It's kind of like what they did with James Bond with Daniel Craig. You're like, well, how does this all fit together now? And the answer is however you want. But for me, if we are getting, we've now got 5 or 6 new starting points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, it's always been Batman Year One. And Batman Year One is not a hard reboot. It's just a story told in Batman Year One.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can accept it. Or you can accept 0 Year.
Which
or,
I don't.
Or, right, which I don't either. I love the purple gloves, though. You know, so to me, where it's a medium where you're being asked to build your own continuity anyway, I don't see the necessity in a line-wide reboot of continuity. I understand in a reboot, like, I think Rebirth might be the best example of this.
Because it's not really a reboot.
No, it's not technically a reboot, but it's like all the designs got changed, it got simplified, and we focus on characters instead of continuity. Like, to me, I understand streamlining it in that way. Or like Marvel Now. Like, nobody started from zero after Marvel Now, but like we got new art teams on all the books and it became like slicker stories. So I don't need a continuity reboot every 10 years, or I guess more accurately now, like every 3 years. What about you? How do you feel about the DC crises?
Crisis on Infinite Earths needed to happen.
Yeah.
100%. It was 50 years of DC continuity. And at that point, the multiverse was a goddamn mess.
Fair.
There were Earth 5,876.
Yeah. Editorial should have never let it get to that.
And at the same time, there were things like Earth B and Earth Y. And you were like, what?
Yeah.
It made no sense. I think, to me, Crisis on Infinite Earths is the one reboot that is needed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that once your comic book universe hits 50 years, you got to do it.
You got to just like clean the slate.
You got to clean the slate. Because my favorite DC universe, and I think the best DC universe, is the universe after Crisis.
I agree. And you and I are big 90s fans.
Yes. But I'm saying, like, even right after Crisis, like the late 80s DC universe, like the John Byrne Superman, that's the George Perez Wonder Woman. That's where Batman Year One comes in.
Yeah. And then Robin is Tim Drake is introduced at the tail end of that.
Yes. Like, I think that's where it is. Now, I don't think the New 52 needed to happen. I understand why it happened, but then I understand at the same time, like,
reboots are economic. They're not story driven.
They are. Infinite Crisis, I think, was a nice soft reboot because the only reboot it did was it brought back the multiverse.
Yes, yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. And I even liked their idea where they're like, okay, we're gonna keep the multiverse manageable. There's only 52 of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, great, cool. There's only 52. That's seems pretty simple. Cool. You know, But now they're starting to slip into this thing where there's more than 52. There's 1,000.
I hate that.
But so to me, Crisis was needed. And, I would argue that I think every 30 to 20 years, mm-hmm. you should probably reboot your universe. I really think you should.
Do you think you should hard reboot it? Like,
I think you should
like
hard,
Dick Grayson is Robin and he's
hard.
10 years old.
Yes. I think, and to me, I think that's the reason, that's the biggest problem with the new 52.
Yeah. Because
I would argue your line of, and I agree with it, make your own continuity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those old stories don't go away. They don't disappear. Mm-hmm. You include what you want. But I think to be economical, to make a reboot work, you have to start square zero. Now, the problem is that with Crisis on Infinite Earths, they didn't even get to do a hard, hard reboot.
Well, no, but also now we're like, just speaking of Batman, we're like six Robins deep.
Sure.
So like, where do all those characters go?
Exactly. But after Crisis on Infinite Earths, like, Batman didn't get a hard reboot.
No.
Wonder Woman did. Superman did.
Yeah.
And then the Justice League
Batman
sort of did.
Never gets a hard reboot. Never.
But I think, to me, the problem with the New 52 is that that's exactly what they should have done. They should have hard rebooted. Uh-huh. There should have been none of this 5-year business.
I agree with that.
And yeah, we should have started with a Batman that had a young Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Grayson should have been 12 years old again.
Yeah, well, Damian Wayne hadn't been around that long by that point.
I know.
DC is in love with Damian Wayne.
And I've said that several years.
Yeah.
And again, if you're one of these older readers and you're one of these things, cool, go read the old stories.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened back in the 80s. Everybody that was like, Golden Age Superman's gone. Well, go read his old stories. They're not gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. Go read them.
Well, yeah, and at the end of the day, I mean, they can do whatever they want because they own the characters. The onus is on you as a fan.
Yes.
And because something changes and because Damian Wayne is Robin and I hate him, it doesn't take anything away from the Robins that I love.
And
it's not a slight against me personally. And I think you do have to know that. And of course, we're here sharing our
opinions. Yeah. And you can agree, you know, and I've said several times, and I've said this on our very lovely Sal's Elseworlds Exchange mm-hmm. podcast, which is great. You should go listen to it. YouTube.com/comicpop. I think Marvel needs a Crisis on Infinite Earth.
I would definitely.
A hard reboot.
I agree. It's messy right now.
It's very messy. And to me, with Marvel right now, I look at Marvel and I say, either be your own thing or be the movie universe.
Don't do both. Lot of half measures.
Yeah, if you can't, if you're going to turn Carol Danvers exactly like Captain Marvel in the movies, then just make the comics of the movie universe.
Well, Tony Stark, Iron Man is to me the biggest indicator.
Well, I've had
that
argument on his episode because to me there's a clear delineation between Tony Stark pre that movie and after that movie.
Yes. Well, also because everyone liked him after that movie.
Exactly. They're different characters. But anyway, so there you go. I don't think we've ever had that talk. I will suggest out there to people, if you want to suggest at GHL Podcast or Facebook.com/Geek History Lesson, mm-hmm. we could do a whole episode on just comic book reboots.
Yeah, we could. We could
and
have
make it a discussion
easily
episode.
Have a discussion.
I think
that
it would be very interesting. We could
have one on DC alone and then one on Marvel.
Yeah, you might even be able to do top 5 reboots.
Yeah.
Or just maybe a general discussion about comic book reboots. I would love to have that discussion, but we've never talked about that. And Cisco Ramon Vibe is a character that is
a product of that, directly
tied into that. So I thought we'd talk about it.
Cool,
so,
loved it.
Now in the New 52, Vibe is now called Cisco Ramon. And he's rebooted in a solo series that's pretty awesome by Andrew Kreisberg, Jeff Johns, and Sterling Gates, guest of this podcast and friend of this podcast.
Yes.
Now, in the New 52, of course, the big event that started the Justice League was the invasion of Earth by Darkseid. It happened all over the world, at the same time. Now, when a boom tube opened up in Detroit, Cisco Ramon was trapped in between the dimensions for a matter of seconds because he was caught in the boom tube. The boom tube opened right up in front of him.
Oh, that's cool.
And even though time elapsed before he was pulled out, he began vibrating between the different physical planes of the multiverse. And while not always visible, Vibe is constantly vibrating at the same frequency of a boom tube. That's what gives him his abilities.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Now, this same incident that gave him his powers, the parademon that came out of this boom tube, because
mm-hmm.
he was with his brother Armando, killed his brother.
Aw.
Now, Cisco has two brothers, mm-hmm. Armando and Dante. We're going to get to Dante.
We know him from the Flash TV
show. This, of course, is the start of the very brotherly relationship that sort of becomes the crux of Vibe
mm-hmm.
that I assume either heavily influenced the show or they did in the comic books because they knew about the show. Now,
uh-huh.
to give you some context here, His new comic debut was April 2013. The pilot of The Flash came out in October of 2014.
So they would have been, that show would have been in active development. They would have been casting and writing scripts really close to when that series debuted.
They would have been at least writing the pilot of The Flash while they were writing the comic series. And it just, it's, again, I don't know, but it would have been interesting. One of them influenced the other.
Well, and problematic Andrew Kreisberg's, Jeff Johns, not problematic, Sterling Gates, not problematic. They are, they're all three creators who were heavily involved in The Flash as well. So I think the writing is on the wall. It was considered, there was consideration put in that.
Now, of course, in the DC, the New 52, 5 years later after that invasion, Sisko was approached by Dale Gunn, who took him to the location of a parademon and told him that this was the exact same parademon that killed his brother. In a fit of rage, he blew up the house that the parademon was in and accidentally killed the parademon, which Sisko actually kind of felt bad about because he was like,
he's a good person.
Yeah, because he's like, I've never killed anybody before. Now, we later learned that this is Agent Gunn, who convinced him to take on the role of Vibe and become a founding member of Argus's new institution, the Justice League of America, because in this new continuity, the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman team was only called Justice League.
Yep.
And he was specifically brought onto this Justice League because this was Argus's team to fight the Justice League because they thought they were too controlled. And Vibe was specifically brought on to fight Barry Allen, the Flash. Now, Amanda Waller, who is also a part of forming this new Justice League, quoted, "Cisco Ramon might be one of the most powerful superhumans on the planet. He wields vibrational powers that could, in theory, shake the Earth apart."
Wow.
Again, this was sort of the buildup that Vibe is one of the most powerful metahumans in the DC universe. And again, this is also the introduction of this interesting theory that I'm surprised the Flash TV show has not really delved into much, that his vibrational powers can cut off a speedster from the Speed Force, can stop it dead.
Well, he's not the hero of the show.
Sure.
Barry's the hero of the show.
It's interesting because later on in Vibe's solo series, he was sent to battle Bart Allen as his training for his soon-to-come battle with Barry Allen, and he was briefly able to deprive Bart of his connection to the Speed Force, showing that he could fight and stop the Flash if he had to eventually fight him. But what changed this battle is that Cisco noticed that Bart wasn't as bad as he'd been led to believe, and he began to doubt the super-secret society of the DC Universe, Argus.
Yeah, because Bart is awesome.
Yes. Although this was the New 52 Bart, which is not the same Bart as the Bart thing.
No, and he's much less awesome.
And we're not going to get into it because reboots are hell. If you want to request our reboot episode.
If you want to request a Bart Allen episode, I would love to teach it.
We haven't done a Bart Allen episode,
have we? No, we haven't.
Oh. On his
it was a long time to do Barry. Yeah.
On his third mission, Vibe was sent in after Gypsy, his longtime paramour in many versions of the comic books, but this Gypsy...
Paramour.
He'd never met Gypsy. Gypsy was able to use her powers to convince the other Argus members that she was Batman and that Superman was dealing with Gypsy inside a building because, of course, you know, she can allude to, like, oh, hey, like, you can't see things that you can't... You know, that's her typical classic comic book powers, is, like, creating illusions, although this is the first time that they have tied Gypsy and Vibe's powers together was in this comic book series.
Cool.
Vibe was able to see through her illusions and attacked her. And after Amanda Waller ordered Argus's shoulders to fire at will on Gypsy after she'd already been surrounded, Vibe attacked Argus. In retaliation, Waller ordered the Suicide Squad to capture Vibe and Gypsy. Gypsy turned herself in, and Vibe turned invisible in an attempt to escape from them. However, Deadshot had figured out this ability and was able to use his super-duper rifle to basically shoot Gypsy in the shoulder and eventually stop Vibe and Gypsy dead. Now, of course, Vibe was captured, and he was thrown into Argus's secret prison called the Circus. If you don't know what this is, the Circus is a secret facility located in, of course, where else? Detroit, controlled by Argus, where basically the organization keeps prisoners that are not native from the Earth or even from alternate other dimensions. They name these people Breachers.
Ah, which people from The Flash should
you should
know.
Be very, very familiar.
I just want to imagine that it's the big Haley circus tent. They're just all hiding in there.
Now, eventually, Dante Cisco's older brother, yep. alongside Agent Gunn, were able to enter the Argus Circus and break Vibe out. But before they could do that, Dante was shot in the back. In retaliation, Vibe released all the prisoners from the circus, and his energy eventually broke the walls of reality, allowing Rupture to enter the Earth Prime dimension. A battle ensued between Rupture and Vibe, and Rupture was revealed to be Vibe's dead brother, Armando, who had been shunted to another dimension and had now gone crazy.
I'm surprised the show hasn't done that, especially since they embrace the multiverse.
They've sort of done a version of that in the second season. They've hinted at this. They've come close to adapting this, but they didn't do it exactly. Eventually, it was revealed through many battles and evil mind control that Armando was actually not as evil as he thought to have been. And to get back to their other dimension, back to the Earth dimension, Armando eventually sacrificed himself so that Cisco could return back to his home dimension, as we call it, Detroit.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, that's kind of it.
What?
Yeah, Cisco Ramon pops up a couple of times in Trinity War. He shows up in Future's End as a non-speaking character in their weird 5 years later. But to the best of my ability and to my research, as far as I see, Cisco Ramon has not shown up post-DC Rebirth. If he has, please let us know at GGL Rebirth. But I looked at the comic book database.
You mean GHL Podcast?
At GHL Podcast on Twitter, please let us know if he shows up in DC Rebirth. But as far as I consulted the comic book database, which is a great website. I consulted Comic Vine. I consulted a couple other places. I don't think he shows up anywhere in DC Rebirth.
I think this is fascinating because if people will throw their minds back to the Killer Frost episode, that was a very similar story for her until she got brought on to that Justice League book where they're trying to make her nice.
First off, bring back Cisco Ramon, DC.
I'm shocked because he's huge on the TV show.
Yeah. But let's quick discussion here.
Yeah.
Do you think this might be because of the TV show? Do you think the TV show was like, he's off limits?
I doubt it because they're making Flash and Batman and Killer Frost. DC often makes moves like Marvel where it reflects their movies and their TV shows in development. I wonder if editorial thinks because they have Blue Beetle, they don't need another Latinx lead of a book.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
I agree. But I wonder if that's a discussion. Like, well, we have Blue Beetle. Jaime's books sell better. Mm-hmm. So why would we do Vibe?
That's terrible because I will say that, and we'll get to it in my recommended reading, but this Vibe New 52 series is awesome.
And this is just conjecture on my part. I don't know. I'm also shocked that he wasn't just stuck on a team, like any of the Justice League teams.
Right.
Or if you want to make him 19, put him on Teen Titans. If you want to make him 21, put him on Titans.
He's actually young enough he could be on Young Justice.
But Young Justice is like a weird throwbacky book.
Sure.
But you know, I think there's a place for him, and I think there's a reason that character really popped off on the show. And part of that is the actor, of course. But I'm shocked that we haven't had a solo series since the show.
Well, really quickly, let's talk about the Flash TV show because we want to point out Carlos Valdez portrays Cisco Ramon / Vibe in the CW's Arrowverse as a main cast member on The Flash. This version of the character, of course, is a mechanical engineering genius who works at Star Labs in Central City with known metahuman powers to detect anomalies with reality and sonic manipulation. And in season two, he finally took the Vibe nickname and embraced his metahuman status and wore the costume of the New 52 Flash. And to be honest with you, Carlos Valdez, I think, does an amazing job. He's one of the best characters on that show.
I was going to say he's like arguably one of the best characters on the show.
And that's basically the main lesson. Now, before we get to our recommended reading, we have to shout out our second sponsor. You might know some cool people from the YouTubes. You might know Philip Molina. You might know Sam Basher. You might know Eric Voss. And they are all from New Rock Stars. Now, if you're big into film and TV franchises like Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, Aquaman, Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, awesome nerd things like we talk about here, then keep listening because New Rock Stars is a new weekly podcast from Himalaya Media that digs into Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and all the other big franchises each week. They break down the latest news, interviews, Easter eggs, and Reddit theories. Now, the new Rockstars YouTube channel just crossed 500 million views. They're a great channel. We love them over there. And now they basically made a podcast version of the popular New Rockstars Debrief Show. The podcast is available every Saturday morning and is a great way to keep up with this week's movie and TV news and rumors and get a sneak peek of what's going to be happening this weekend. So think about it. New Rockstars on Saturday. Our show comes up on Monday. It's the perfect comic book team up. Captain Marvel, just a reminder, they want to tell you, is coming out March 8th, and there's news coming out every day about some of the biggest April titles, Shazam, Game of Thrones, Avengers Endgame, so you do not want to miss the New Rockstars deep dives into what's happening now and what's happening next. You can go follow New Rockstars on Apple Podcasts, the Himalaya app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Go check them out. They are friends of the show, and we love them dearly, and they're super cool nerds. So you go listen to the New Rockstars podcast wherever you find podcasts around. Now let's jump into some recommended reading. Ashley.
Yes.
What's that?
Well, Jason, if people have loved our lesson and they want to know more about Vibe, Professor Jason is going to recommend some reading that you can do. You head on over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. There's a bunch of little widgets there. You click on the title you want, you buy it, you get to read, and a little bit of support comes back our way from Amazon with no extra cost to you. It helps us keep this podcast free.
Number one, and there's no other choice, the Justice League of America's Vibe Volume 1. Breach.
Heck yeah.
It's from the New 52. I don't know why they call it Volume 1, because it's the only volume. It collects all 10 issues of the Vibe solo series, the origin I told you about.
Yep.
I didn't go into full details on Vibe's origin because I want you to read it. It's where its cool new costume comes from. It's why you got the action figure. Guest and good friend of this podcast, Sterling Gates, wrote a good chunk of it.
Yep.
It is one of the best comics out of the New 52. No lie. It is such a good trade. I own it. I had Sterling sign it for me. If you want to read Vibe, this is the book to read. It is just a good comic book. It's one of DC's best comic books, I would say, the last 10 years.
Nice.
Really good. The next one is Justice League of America Volume 1, World's Most Dangerous. This is the team that Vibe was on, the Justice League of America team that's there to fight the Justice League of America team, the Justice League normal team. You know, it's okay. There's some great moments with Vibe and Hawkman in it. And then last off, if you want to go back to some beatboxing and Paco, there's the Justice League, the Detroit era omnibus. It collects the entire Detroit League. You can see the street party. You can see Paco talk about Star Trek, and you can see him in the Los Lobos hijinks if you're a fan of Detroit. Okay. We kind of did a discussion about whether Cisco should be in the current DCU. So let's just move straight into the honor roll.
Sure, let's do it. The honor roll is where if you are an amazing person who goes over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts and you leave us 5 stars because you love us, we'll write whatever you want because we love you.
Yes, the first person that's going to join the honor roll is Depressed Ninja. Says, I love GHL so much. I've been a longtime patron on Patreon. Thank you.
Thank you.
And recently recommended to my little brother who really wants to get into comic books and all of geekdom.
Aww.
It's one of the best podcasts of all time. P.S. I love Jason's Doctor Strange.
Well, Doctor Strange loves you, Depressed Ninja. But you should not be depressed. You should be happy. Unless you are infected with the dark magic.
Thank you, Depressed Ninja. The next person that's going to join is J.D. Williamson 79. Says, great show. Really addictive and fun. Perfect for nerds and geeks like me. Hosts play very well off each other. Love it.
Thank you.
Thank you, J.D. Williamson. So J.D. Williamson 79 and Depressed Ninja, we have opened the door to the teacher's lounge. You can come inside and you can eat some no-bake cookies that were cooked by Mr. Smith.
What does Mr. Smith teach again?
He teaches wooden army fighting techniques.
Oh,
it's a very elective and very, they only let 10 students in.
Mm.
And a lot of it, they talk about, trebuchets.
Jason is acting out a trebuchet right now. Podcast famously a visual medium.
Yes. But thank you. Go be like them. Go over to iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. You can write whatever you want, but it helps us in the iTunes algorithm.
Yes, it does.
We're going to plug some things, but you want to stick around for hashtag stick around because it's where we talk about stuff some more. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, all the places you can listen to podcasts. If you want to suggest a future lesson, Ashley, where can they do that?
They can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast.
And thanks again to Lee Chavis and David May for suggesting Vibe. I actually figured a lot more people would suggest Vibe, but you know, these two guys or ladies or people, they're just the coolest people. They're holding it down. Don't forget to head over to GHL Extra, which you can only listen to on patreon.com/Jawin. This week, the episode is going to be about Vibe in the Flash TV show and basically our thoughts about his story so far over 5 seasons on the show, whether we think there have been some mistakes made with him, whether they could have done better. We're going to talk about that. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. It's the same hashtags or the same handles as me. At Jawin for me, J-A-W-I-I-N, and at Ashley V. Robinson for Ashley. It's the same on Instagram, same on Twitter. And now, hashtag stick around. Or make sure you stick around the plugs. Ashley, do you like Vibe's new 52 costume? Basically the costume that he wears in the show?
I do like his costume.
Why?
I'm a sucker for anything that's red.
Okay.
Also, he is a character whose powers and whose name are not particularly evocative of anything. Flash, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, their names suggest something. Vibe is very open, and it's a blank slate, which is cool. It's one of the only costumes where I think goggles work and don't look completely stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
I also think Impulse has some great goggles, and I like that his color scheme echoes the Flash, because on the TV show, he's one of the only ones who actually looks like a member of Team Flash. Like, he looks like a support member, which I think is really cool. So yes, I do like it. Do you?
Heck yes.
Why?
Because it's cool.
It's not a good enough.
Because
reason.
I've seen the old costume.
Yeah, yeah.
And dear God almighty.
I will share a picture of the classic Vibe costume.
Oh my God. He's got two of them and they're both
I'll
bad.
Share both of them.
No, I think the new 52 costume is a nice update of the new costume. I also think there's something symbolic to him having a vest and the pattern mm-hmm. that he has on his vest that I think that, I don't know if that's intentional or not, but it kind of seems like it's a nice shout out to his Hispanic heritage.
Do you think changing his name to Cisco was a good move?
Yes. You know, no offense to anybody out there that's named Paco, but something about Paco Ramon, it just kind of sounds, it doesn't roll off the tongue as easily as Cisco Ramon.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cisco has those two nice hard K mm-hmm. plosives, so they just sound more, it sounds more like energetic and enticing. It's just a yeah. weird thing about
just,
the language.
It's a sound thing. It's yeah. a sound thing. Cool. So yeah, there you go. Well, that has been it for the Geek History Lesson Podcast. I am Jason Good Vibrations Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
Class has been vibrationally dismissed, except for Earth 42. You know what you did, and you're going to stay there. Stay there.